For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Tut Underwood.
Double time!
Double time!
March!
The sound of soldiers training at Fort Jackson has been heard around Columbia for nearly a century. The fort is a vital part of the nation's defense as the Army's largest basic training post. It will celebrate its centennial over the next year in a run-up to the 100th anniversary of its founding date of June 2, 1917. Shortly after America's entry into World War I. Looking back on the fort's beginnings, Fort Jackson Museum Director Henry Howe said the fort, then called Camp Jackson, was brought to Columbia through the lobbying efforts of local businessmen.
The leaders in Columbia saw a need approaching, the need for a larger army. They knew that that would require military installations to grow, and they saw the opportunity to offer to the federal government Columbia as a prime location. So from the very beginning, Fort Jackson really grew from an interest of Columbia.
Military historian Fritz Hamer said Columbia's key lobbyist was banker Edwin Robertson. He listed some of the factors that helped the capital city win the post.
The Southeast was a prime place to train troops because of the weather. And Robertson helped bring in donations of $50,000 to buy about 12 to 1,500 acres for the military. This was how eager businessmen were to see an installation like this. And the Army liked the location because there was a lot of open space to train troops. Those combinations made Columbia a prime site.
Hamer said the Army's awarding the camp to Columbia boosted the city's prosperity tremendously.
You have the Army buying all kinds of supplies from city like R.L. Bryan, the stationery and office supply. They buy thousands and thousands of dollars worth of stationery, furniture of all kinds for offices, writing implements, pens and paper and so forth and so on. So it's quite an operation.
Howe said the urgency of America's entry into the war dictated the camp be built speedily and simply. It took around 10,000 workers 6 to 8 months to build the camp.
Fort Jackson actually was built very quickly because the need was right upon us. So we didn't have a year to build a building. We had days. And obviously the specifications back then were different than they are today. We didn't have a need for necessarily running water and electricity and air conditioning, insulation. You know, you had to have a roof, walls, and a floor.
Without the numbers!
Without the numbers!
About peace!
Hamer said one of the interesting facts about those who trained at the fort over the years was that some trained there to prove their loyalty to the United States during World War II. While their families were imprisoned in internment camps.
The Japanese Americans, several companies trained at Fort Jackson before they went overseas. And then they became very important in the Italian and Southern French campaigns in 44 and 45. But it was certainly one of the most famous and most decorated units in the U.S. Armed Forces.
Camp Jackson was an enormous boon to the local economy when it was built, and Fort Jackson continues to have a huge economic impact on the Midlands, Howe said.
Fort Jackson brings in somewhere around $2 billion into the Midlands on an annual basis. Soldier pay, electric, water, gas, sewer. We get a lot of our contract labor from downtown. We get the food local.
The fort also has survived several rounds of base closings, and Hamer said he believes it will continue to serve the nation's military needs for a long time to come.
You're right. We're strong.
Stand up.
1, 2.
This report also can be heard on SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Tut Underwood.